Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Listen, music opens the eyes to our heart in preparation for the Word of God. It's an indispensable ministry that God has given us. So, let's pray. Father, we thank you for Doris, and we thank you for Cheryl, and we thank you for all those who minister in music. We realize without that ministry, the hearts would not be open as they are now. And because hearts have been opened, we can see it's an empty grave and a full life. We pray you bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read something that caught my eye this week as I was reading the many materials that I read, and it goes like this. Surely the Christian life was meant to be simpler. Simpler than this, a friend complained to her husband. I agree. In some 20 years I've been a Christian. I've received instruction on and been challenged to read my Bible daily without ceasing, to pray without ceasing, do in-depth Bible study regularly, memorize scripture, meditate day and night, fellowship with other believers, always be ready to give an answer to the questioning unbeliever, give to missions and to the poor, work as unto the Lord, use my time judiciously, give thanks in all circumstances, serve the body using my gifts to edify others, keep a clean house as a testimony, practice gracious hospitality, submit to my husband, love and train my children, disciple other women, manage finances as a good steward, involve myself in school and community activities, develop and maintain non-Christian friendships, stimulate my mind with careful reading, improve my health through diet and exercise, coordinate my wardrobe, watch my posture, and simplify my life by baking my own bread. These are all important things, but I think the goal of the Christian life for most of us is to simplify our lives and remove any unnecessary clutter. And so it's not just a matter of priority, it's a matter of focus. Because more isn't necessarily better, faster isn't necessarily better, bigger isn't necessarily better. The question is not how can I do more, but how can I simplify my Christian life? And the answer in Matthew 6:22 begins like this. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. This verse is about seeing things clearly. In other words, it's about focusing. Now, many of us who get older, and believe me, I'm doing that, have a problem focusing. We get to the place where we're not so sure of our driving. Well, there's nothing wrong with your driving. It's your focus that's missing. And I remember pulling out of the driveway here at church, and there's a sign that says, Church. And it blocks your view unless you pull out beyond the sign to see to your left and to your right, or you stay behind the sign. Well, I know that. But since I focus on one thing at a time, I lost my focus and I began to think, well, now let's see now. Where am I going now? What have I got today's schedule? What's going on? And I pulled out and fortunately, there was a blind spot. This fellow saw me and missed me. Well, it wasn't a question of whether I could drive. It was a question of whether I was focusing. And so then another incident, and my wife prays for me all the time, trust me. I pull out of the driveway and I go to the right and there's that stoplight right there. So this fellow pulls up to the stoplight and he signals he's going left. So I assume he's going left. So like any good driver, I pull around and I go on the other side of him and he goes straight. He ran me off the road. Well, you know what that taught me? Focus. Focus. The key to the Christian life is focusing on Christ. Now watch, Philippians 1:21. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The focus of Paul's faith was Christ. His life was in Christ. His life was of Christ. His life was through Christ. His life was for Christ. And his life was from Christ. Now, I'd like to read a portion of scripture to you. It's in John chapter 14. Now, in the Greek, that follows 13. John 14, 25 through 31. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything he said to you. Peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father. The Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you believe. I will not say much more to you, for the Prince of the world is coming. And he has no hold over me. Listen, what Jesus is saying is, look, you might not understand what I'm saying to you at the moment, but trust me to know that what I'm saying to you is the truth. Remember when Jesus was trying to comfort the disciples? And Peter saw Jesus coming in the water, and Peter said, you know, if you would, I could come to you. Peter could walk on the water. So Peter got out of the boat, walked toward Jesus, and was able to walk on the water. But then he looked around and saw the storms. And once he saw the storms and took his eyes off Christ, he sank. The key is focus. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Don't take your ears away from Jesus. When he says he's going somewhere and he's coming back, he's coming back. Don't take your eyes off Jesus, or you'll sink. Don't be disturbed by storms. Don't be disturbed by rules that bury Christ and make it more difficult to know Christ than it was meant to be. Sermons should reveal Christ. Behavior should reflect Christ. If you honor Christ, you'll honor every other relationship in your life. So keep your focus on Jesus. It's that simple. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Focus on Jesus. Why? Because he's the way. He's the only way. The law doesn't show you the way. Good works don't show you the way. Christ shows us the way to the Father. He shows the way to heaven. Then Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. The law was given, it says in John 17, through Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the ultimate goal of truth. What is truth? Well, some define truth as that which most accurately reflects reality. But I say truth is that which is true. Jesus is that which is true about God. Truth always leads us to freedom. John 8, verses 31 through 32 says, to the Jews who believed on him, Jesus said, if you believe my teaching, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's the truth that sets us free. Jesus Christ is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. John 17, 3 says, now this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. All right? What is life eternal? This is life eternal, that they may know the true God. Now let me say this. Eternal life is God's kind of life in you. Eternal life is no beginning and no end. It's uniquely God's kind of life. It's not everlasting life. Everybody will live forever, either with God or away from God. Eternal life is God's kind of life in us. We need to be born again. We need to receive that eternal life from God. And Jesus Christ is the one who gives us that eternal life. Now, it's simple. Focus on Jesus. Now, let me share it with you. In a prayer meeting, we had a little test. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things shall be added unto you. Remember that, Matthew? Well, I took out a book. It said, find Waldo now. Now, how many of you know who Waldo is? Thank goodness. Did you know in a Bible study that most people didn't know who Waldo was? This book is all about finding Waldo. Okay, so what do? You open this up, and there's all kinds of thousands and thousands of distractors. And in that, you have to find Waldo. Well, do you know something? It's interesting. But the Bible is a book about finding Jesus. That's why you have Bible study. That's why you study your Bible. Not just to learn doctrine, that's important. Not just to learn the rules, that's important. Not just to mind your this and that and the other. The key figure in reading the Bible and Bible study is to find Jesus, and he's in everywhere in the Bible. So when you read your Bible, your purpose is to find Jesus. Luke chapter 24. Luke is one of my favorite books, by the way. Luke chapter 24. Remember I said that the Bible was about Jesus, and when you read the Bible, you're looking to find Jesus? Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, verse 25. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. The Bible is a book about Jesus. You read the Bible to find more about Jesus. That's the key interpretive point of the whole scriptures. It's about Jesus. You know, children seem to understand that better than we do. Children seem to understand something special about the simple love of Jesus. And the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, was written by someone for a little girl who was dying. And as she was dying, this song was written for her. And it was simply, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Do you know it? Do you understand that? I mean, you. Oh, yes, you. That's right, warts and all. We're all toads. Listen, let me say this to you. Jesus is all you need. And because Jesus is all you need, he gives you whatever else you may need in the future. You know that? Now, what do we do? Sometimes we pray after the event, but I think we should always put Jesus first. Now, that doesn't make you a fanatic. That makes you a Christian. Jesus is all the world to me. He's everything to me. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. And more than that, He's my friend. So why should you read your Bible? You should read your Bible to look for Jesus. He's in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The Bible says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Do you know what grace is? Sure you do. Grace is what Jesus came to deliver at your doorstep, and He knocks so you'll open it. Listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now I'm going to read you a story that I think is important to understand Jesus and who He is. Remember in Isaiah it said, He shall be called Emmanuel, Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace. His name isn't Wonderful. You know the song, His name is Wonderful. His name is Wonderful. No, it's Wonderful Counselor. Those two words go together. His name is Wonderful Counselor. Have you ever gone to Him for counsel, for direction, for wisdom? I want to read something about a lady who went to a counselor, and I think counseling is important. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. I think that all these things we talked about, handling our finances, doing all these things are important, but most of the time it's a matter of priority and focus. And if you put Jesus at the head of the list, everything else falls into place. Well, here's a woman who was deeply troubled who went to a counselor. She said this, I was deep in thought at my office preparing a lecture to be given the evening at the college across town when a phone rang. A woman I'd never met introduced herself and said she was the mother of a 7-year-old and that she was dying. She said that her therapist had advised her that discussing her pending death with her son would be too traumatic for him, but somehow that didn't feel right to her. Knowing this, that I work with grieving children, she asked my advice. I told her that our heart is often smarter than our brain and that I thought she knew what would be best for her son. I also invited her to attend the lecture that night since I was speaking on how children cope with death. She said she'd be there. I wondered later if I would recognize her at the lecture, but my question was answered when I saw a frail woman being half-carried into the room by two adults. I talked about the fact that children usually sense the truth long before they are told and that they often wait until they feel adults are ready to talk about it before sharing their concerns and questions. I said that the children usually handle this and handle the truth better than they handle denial. Even though the denial is intended to protect them from pain, I said that respecting children meant including them in the family sadness, not shutting them out. She'd heard enough. At the break, she hobbled to the podium, and through her tears, she said, I knew it in my heart. I just knew I should tell him. She said that she would tell him that night. The next morning, I received another phone call from her, and she could hardly talk, but I managed to hear the story through her choked voice. Her son was only 7 years old. She awakened him when they got home the night before and quietly said, Derek, I have something to tell you. He quickly interrupted her, saying, Oh, Mommy, is it now that you're going to tell me that you're dying? She held him close, and they both sobbed while she said yes. After a few minutes, the little boy wanted down. He said that he had something for her that he had been saving. In the back of one of the drawers was a dirty pencil box. Inside the box was a letter written in simple scrawl. It said, Goodbye, Mom. I will always love you. How long had he been waiting to hear the truth? I don't know. I do know that 2 days later, Mom died, and in her casket was placed a dirty pencil box and a crumpled note. Listen, Jesus is a comforter. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. Sometimes we don't share our hearts and our burdens because we think we're protecting people. Let the Lord guide you. Let Him counsel you. You'll know when the timing is right. You'll know when the words are right. You'll know when the thought is right. Sometimes we protect ourselves and not others. So let me say this to you. The truth sets you free. Now, mind you, you don't handle the truth like a sledgehammer. I never thought much of you in the first place. We even only married a week. Look, Jesus is there as a counselor to give us the wisdom. Ask Him, Lord, how do I approach or how do I deal with this circumstance? Focus on Christ. That's what simplifies it all. Focus on Jesus Christ. Study your Bible. Don't look for Waldo. Look for Jesus. It's really that simple. Think what we've really missed by not focusing on Jesus. Maybe it's more than just a day. Hey, give them a try. These other things are important. I'm not saying don't do them. I'm saying prioritize them. First, Jesus, the rest comes into line. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessing. And thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.